Welcome to XY Files podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 9 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time, we covered how low testosterone symptoms show up differently at every age. Today, we're getting into low testosterone test. What labs to order, when to test. The reason this matters is simple. Most men are tested the wrong way, not maliciously, just casually. One random total testosterone level drawn in the afternoon after breakfast with no LH, no FSH, and then everybody starts making very confident statements. That is how you miss real hypogonadism. And it is also how you label a guy with a hormone disorder he may not actually have. Remember what we talked about last time. Symptoms change with age. A man in his late 20s may notice libido and gym recovery first. A man in his 40s may complain more about brain fog, sleep, belly fat, and motivation. A man in his 50s or 60s may focus on sexual performance, energy, or muscle loss. Today is where that turns practical. Symptoms tell you when testing makes sense. Labs tell you whether the syndrome is real, and just as important, what kind of problem you are dealing with. The first point, and honestly the one that keeps us out of trouble, is that low testosterone is not a lab value by itself. It is a clinical syndrome. You need both pieces. Persistent symptoms plus biochemical evidence. A low number alone is not enough. Symptoms alone are not enough either. I see both mistakes all the time. A guy gets an executive physical, feels fine, and one testosterone number comes back a little low. Suddenly, he is shopping for treatment. Then another guy has clear symptoms for a year: low libido, fewer spontaneous erections, fatigue, poor recovery, mood change, and he gets told, "Your total testosterone is in range. You're normal." Even though nobody checked free testosterone properly and nobody ordered LH or FSH. Same system, opposite errors. Last month, one of our patients, a man in his early 40s, uploaded outside labs and wrote a short note that basically said, "I'm tired, gaining fat, and I don't feel like myself." Pretty standard message. His first lab panel from elsewhere had total testosterone only. No free testosterone by a usable method. No LH, no FSH, no real context. When we reviewed his history, the more important story was not just the number. It was the pattern. Weight had crept up. Sleep was poor. Libido was down. He had metabolic issues that mattered. That is functional hypogonadism territory until proven otherwise. If you skip the context, you miss the whole movie and stare at one frame. The AUA guideline, the EAU guideline, and the Endocrine Society all make the same basic point. Diagnose the man, not the chemistry set. If a patient has obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, medication effects, poor sleep, or recent acute illness, testosterone can be pushed down in a way that is real, but potentially reversible. That does not mean you ignore it. It means you interpret it correctly. And this is where I'll admit something. When I was younger in training, I used to give lab reference ranges a little too much authority. If the report said normal, case closed. I was wrong. Not dramatically wrong, quietly wrong, which is worse because it feels responsible. Now, when should you test? Morning, fasting, between 7 and 11, not when you have the flu, not right after surgery, not while you are in the middle of some major acute stress response and wondering why your hormones look strange. Testosterone is not static. In younger men especially, it tends to run higher in the morning. Food can nudge the value down. Acute illness can suppress the whole axis transiently. If you draw it at the wrong time, you are not measuring baseline physiology. You are measuring noise. A lot of men do this backwards. They get a blood draw at 3 in the afternoon because that was the appointment available. They had coffee and a sandwich. Maybe they slept 4 hours. Then they panic because the result looks borderline. That is like checking your sprint speed after a red-eye flight and deciding you have a permanent leg problem. Maybe, maybe not. Terrible test conditions. One of the most common practical mistakes I see is testing during or right after acute illness. Fever, surgery, hospitalization, a bad infection, even a major inflammatory event can temporarily suppress the hypothalamic pituitary testicular axis. In plain English, your body is busy surviving. Reproduction moves down the priority list. Fair enough. If you test in that window, the number can look low and still not reflect your usual baseline. So the test setup is boring, but important. Schedule the draw in the morning. Fast. Use the same laboratory method if you need to repeat it. And if the result is low, borderline, or just does not fit the symptoms, repeat it on a separate morning. Day-to-day variation is real. Now let's talk about what to order, because this is where incomplete panels do the most damage. At minimum, a proper low testosterone evaluation includes total testosterone measured by LC-MS/MS, free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS/MS, LH, and FSH. Those four are the core. Then you add the safety and context labs that actually change management. Estradiol, CBC, Comprehensive Metabolic Panel, vitamin D, PSA if you are 40 or older, insulin if BMI is over 25, and when the situation calls for it, lipid panel, prolactin, and TSH. That is not a fancy panel for the sake of looking thorough. I have no interest in biomarker confetti. The point is to order the things that answer real questions. Total testosterone tells you the overall circulating amount. Free testosterone tells you what is actually available to tissues. That matters because some men have a total testosterone that looks acceptable on paper, while the biologically active fraction is low. LH and FSH tell you where the problem is coming from. Without them, you cannot classify primary versus secondary hypogonadism. And if you cannot classify it, you cannot choose the right treatment rationally. Estradiol matters because men make estrogen too, and it participates in feedback signaling. CBC gives you hematocrit and can also show anemia, which can mimic fatigue from low testosterone. The comprehensive metabolic panel gives you liver and metabolic context. Vitamin D deficiency is common and can contribute to low energy. PSA gives you a baseline in men over 40 before any hormone treatment discussion. Insulin helps when excess weight and insulin resistance are part of the picture, which they often are in functional hypogonadism. And then there are the add-ons that are not optional in the right patient. If testosterone is low and LH is low or normal, especially if low libido is prominent, prolactin matters. Elevated prolactin can suppress GnRH and create secondary hypogonadism. Sometimes that is medication-related. Sometimes it points to a pituitary issue. If a man also has headaches or visual changes, that is not background noise. That changes the workup. TSH is useful when the symptoms could just as easily be thyroid disease. Lipids matter when metabolic health is clearly part of the story. What we do not order routinely is SHBG as a separate test to estimate free testosterone. We measure free testosterone directly with equilibrium dialysis. That avoids the weakness of calculated workarounds. I would rather have a direct answer than a clever estimate. And yes, the method for free testosterone matters a lot, maybe more than most people realize. Many standard labs still use direct free testosterone immunoassays. Those are not accurate enough for diagnosis. I know that sounds like a fussy lab nerd point. It is not. If the measurement is bad, the interpretation is bad, then the treatment decision is bad. This is how ordinary men end up on the wrong path for years. The Endocrine Society has been clear on this for a long time. For total testosterone, LC-MS/MS is the most accurate routine method for sex steroid evaluation. For free testosterone, equilibrium dialysis is the preferred direct method. At VIDMA, that is what we use. Think of it this way. Total testosterone is the paycheck number. Free testosterone is what is actually available to spend. If a lot is tied up by binding proteins, the total can look decent while the usable amount is low. That is why a man can have symptoms, a normal total testosterone, and still have meaningful deficiency when you measure free testosterone properly. This is especially relevant in men whose binding proteins run high. Aging can do that. Liver issues can do that. Sometimes you just see it. The practical point is that if your provider only orders total testosterone, he may miss the problem completely. Now, how do we read the numbers? At VIDMA, when symptoms persist and the sample was collected correctly, we use 350 nanograms per deciliter as the key threshold for total testosterone, and 100 picograms per milliliter for free testosterone. Those are the decision points that matter in our practice. If total testosterone is above 350, biochemical deficiency is less likely, but not automatically ruled out. You still look at free testosterone, symptoms, timing, and method. If total testosterone is between 230 and 349, that is the gray zone. This is where free testosterone, LH, and FSH become especially important.
If total testosterone is below 230, that is more severe biochemical deficiency, and treatment response tends to be clearer when symptoms are present. This is why I do not love the phrase normal range. It sounds tidy. Human physiology is not tidy. A lab range is a statistical fence built from a mixed population. It is not a verdict. You also have to resist the temptation to say, well, he's average for age. Average for age can still mean low free testosterone relative to healthier, younger physiology. That is interesting context, but not a diagnosis by itself. Diagnosis still needs symptoms and the right testing conditions. We are treating a man, not a percentile chart. And all of that brings us to the part that changes treatment most dramatically: LH and FSH. If you remember one sentence from this episode, make it this one. Low testosterone without LH and FSH is unfinished business. LH and FSH are the pituitary signals that talk to the testes. I often explain it like a thermostat and a furnace. The brain is the thermostat. The testes are the furnace. LH is one of the key signal wires. If the thermostat is turned all the way up and the house is still cold, the furnace is failing. That is primary hypogonadism. If the thermostat is barely sending a signal and the house is cold, the problem is upstream. That is secondary hypogonadism. High LH plus low testosterone means primary hypogonadism. The pituitary is already pushing hard. The testes are not responding adequately. In that scenario, enclomiphene is not the right tool because the testes cannot answer the signal properly. Educationally, that is the pattern where testosterone replacement is usually required. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone means secondary hypogonadism. The testes may be capable. The signal is weak. This is the most common real-world pattern I see, especially in men with obesity, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, sleep disruption, or medication-related suppression. A lot of this falls under functional hypogonadism. The axis is intact, just suppressed. That distinction matters because treatment is completely different. When LH is below 8 milli international units per milliliter and the picture fits secondary or functional hypogonadism, enclomiphene is a strong first-line option. It blocks estrogen feedback at the hypothalamus, increases GnRH and LH, and stimulates the testes to produce testosterone naturally. It preserves spermatogenesis and fertility. It maintains testicular size and function. It works with the body's own regulation rather than overriding it, and it generally carries a lower hematocrit risk than TRT. This is why I get a little quiet, in a concerned way, when a younger man tells me he was offered testosterone injections after one incomplete lab panel and no fertility discussion. TRT has a role. It is reserved for primary hypogonadism or for secondary hypogonadism that does not respond to enclomiphene. But TRT suppresses gonadotropins and spermatogenesis. If a man wants fertility, that is a major issue, not a technical footnote. At VIDMA, we do not prescribe testosterone injections or other TRT. We focus on preventive men's health with a proper diagnostic workup, first-line enclomiphene for appropriate secondary and functional cases, and the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet when erection or urinary symptoms are also present. That approach makes sense because the most common pattern is not testicular failure. It is a suppressed but salvageable axis. And yes, lifestyle still matters. It matters a lot. If a man has functional hypogonadism related to excess weight, insulin resistance, poor sleep, and inactivity, those have to be addressed. But in the real world, lifestyle improvement alone often moves testosterone only modestly, and long-term weight regain is common. I wish that were less true. It is still true. In properly selected men, the best first step is often enclomiphene plus lifestyle work, not one or the other pretending to be enough for everyone. A quick word on follow-up, because testing does not stop once treatment starts. If we start therapy, we repeat labs after the first month, then every 6 months. Same core logic. Measure what matters, adjust based on symptoms, levels, safety markers, and how the patient is actually doing. A few common questions come up almost every week. A lot of guys hear, "Your total testosterone is normal," and think the conversation is over. But here's what is really going on. Total testosterone can miss men with low free testosterone. It can also look reassuring when the test method was poor or the blood draw was mistimed. If you have symptoms and the story does not add up, the workup is not finished. A lot of guys hear one low number and think that automatically means treatment. It does not. You need symptoms plus biochemical evidence, and usually confirmation with a repeat morning draw if the result is borderline or inconsistent. One isolated low value, especially under bad testing conditions, is not a diagnosis. Another one. Men assume LH and FSH are optional extras, like floor mats in a new car. Nice if you want them. No, they are part of the engine. Without LH and FSH, you cannot tell primary from secondary hypogonadism, and that changes treatment completely. I also hear, if it's functional, I should just lose weight and recheck in a year. Sometimes that works. Often it does not work enough. And sometimes it does not work at all because life is life. Long hours, family stress, poor sleep, insulin resistance, appetite dysregulation. Human beings are not lab mice. If the axis is intact and suppressed, enclomiphene can help restore natural production while you work on the drivers. And finally, some men think TRT is always the more powerful or more serious option, therefore better. Better for whom? Better for what? If you have primary hypogonadism, TRT may be the necessary treatment. If you have secondary or functional hypogonadism and want to preserve fertility, jumping straight to TRT can solve one problem by creating another. If you only remember a few practical things from today, keep these. First, do not test based on curiosity alone. Test when persistent symptoms make the question meaningful. Second, do the blood draw correctly. Morning, fasting, between 7 and 11. Not during acute illness. Repeat if low, borderline, or inconsistent. Third, order a complete panel. Total testosterone by LC-MS-MS. Free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS. LH and FSH, always. Then the relevant context and safety labs. Fourth, read the result as a pattern, not a number. At VIDMA, the important thresholds are 350 for total testosterone and 100 for free testosterone when symptoms persist. High LH plus low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone points to secondary hypogonadism, and when LH is below 8, enclomiphene is often the first-line path. And fifth, if treatment begins, monitor it like an adult. First month, then every 6 months. Next time, we'll get into why your testosterone test came back normal and why that might be wrong. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to VIDMA for free, or order labs through our special offer at VIDMA.com.